Did you hear about the government buying Alaska? $7 million for Snowball.
Idiotic, I say. What a waste of the taxpayers' money.
Suet folly, that's what it is.
The Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education, presents Seward's Folly.
Yes, that's what people were saying about Alaska in 1867. Seward's Folly, or Seward's Icebox. But the people were wrong, as they sometimes are when they're ill-informed. I'd read about Mr. Seward, who was Secretary of State under Abraham Lincoln and who stayed on after the assassination. Today, he'd be called a smart operator. And you can imagine what the conversation must have been like when he met the Russian representative, Baron Steckel.
I'm glad to see you, Baron Steckel.
Thank you, Mr. Seward. You alone seem to realize the value of Alaska.
I sincerely hope that I'm not mistaken in my view.
But of course not. Alaska can be a rich and fruitful territory for you. The fur trade alone will more than pay the price that Russia asks.
Now, come now, Baron Steckel. You know very well Russia is not being altruistic in her offer to sell Alaska. Alaska is a burden for the Russians at the moment, and that is why you wish to dispose of it.
Well, there is no point in our quibbling, Mr. Seward. I should have known, of course, that a man of your capabilities would be well aware of the situation.
No need to worry, Baron. I still feel that Alaska will be an excellent buyer for my country, despite what my colleagues may think. Now, as a price, I believe we have agreed on $7 million.
$7,200,000, Mr. Seward.
So, for $7,200,000, we bought Alaska from the Russians. Maybe you're wondering, like I did, why Alaska belonged to the Russians in the first place. Well, if you take a look at a map, you can see that Alaska is right across from the Bering Sea, Siberia, which is Russian territory. Well, it was natural, Russia being so close to Alaska, that she'd start exploring the new territory. As a matter of fact, the Bering Sea is named after Vitus Bering, the famous Russian explorer who sighted Alaska back in 1741. After Bering, there were a lot of Russian traders who took possession of the Aleutian Islands and built the city of Sitka on the southeast coast of Alaska. Sitka used to be the capital of Alaska, and in the old days it was the Paris of the Northwest. I guess I'm sounding a little like a historian, but you see, I was stationed there during the war, and it interested me so much that now I'm on my way back there to make my home. That's why I was trained, going back to make my own little gold strike up there. But don't get me wrong. I know that gold is one of the least of Alaska's resources. It isn't like it was back in 1899 when scenes like this took place.
Pick the gold right off the beach, they say.
$300 a day.
Nuggets as big as your head.
Opportunity. Who's next? Hurry, hurry, hurry. Hurry.
Sure, that was gold. And a narrow strip of beach, 3/4 of a mile long. 500 men working that strip and making $5 to $10 a day instead of 300. But the gold fever had hit the States and tens of thousands were pouring into Nome. Most of them returned to the States disappointed and broke, although a few did make their fortunes. However, the important thing was that the States had at last discovered Alaska, more than 30 years after what people called Seward's Folly had become a possession of the United States. You must have read about the gold stampede. Writers like Jack London, Rex Beach, and Robert W. Service were caught up by the spell of the Yukon. The stories they wrote were full of tense excitement. I keep thinking of the poem Robert Service wrote. The lines keep running through my mind.
There's a land where the mountains are nameless, and the rivers all run God knows where. There are lives that are erring and aimless, and deaths that just hang with a hair. There are hardships that nobody reckons. There are valleys unpeopled and still. There's a land that know how it beckons and beckons. And I want to go back, and I will.
I guess that just sums up my own feelings for Alaska, especially those last two lines. The rough and tumble days are over now, but there's still a lot of pioneering to do in Alaska. In fact, you're practically a pioneer wherever you go sightseeing. Two buddies of mine, Tom and Joe, were camera crackpots as I am. We were out looking for a totem pole for some gag shots. We came to one of the thousands of glaciers that you find in Alaska.
Hey, boy, is this going to make a shot? Look at the colors that that glacier reflects from the sun.
Yeah, I wonder how deep that canyon is.
Huh? Oh, maybe about 500 feet.
Is it all solid ice, Mark?
Sure. The funny thing is, even though it's solid ice, it flows just like water. But it flows so slowly you can hardly see it.
Hey, say, that's interesting. How long do you think these glaciers have been here?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe hundreds of thousands of years, maybe millions.
Brother, here's where I take a shot of really ancient history.
Yeah. Hey, whoa, storm's coming up, fellas. We better head for some shelter.
How do you like that? The sun was shining only a minute ago.
Well, maybe it'll pass quickly. There's supposed to be a shelter cabin around here somewhere. Let's try to find it quick. I knew there was supposed to be a shelter cabin in this area, but finding it in a blinding storm was easier said than done. We were getting pretty soaked and worried when suddenly we saw somebody on the trail just ahead of us. Luckily, it was an Eskimo, and he was able to lead us to the shelter. He even stayed with us till the storm blew over. He was friendly, like all Eskimos are, and very helpful. We'd probably been in a sorry mess without him. We couldn't thank him enough, but he just said,
"I very glad help American soldier."
Say, you speak English pretty good, don't you?
Yes, I learn. My children are in American school. You wish come see Eskimo village?
Well, sure, that'd be swell. You'd probably get some fine shots, Tom.
Shots?
I mean pictures, with a camera. Tom did get some fine shots, and the Eskimos all seemed happy to see us. I remember we were surprised to find their homes filled with gadgets, you know, the kind you'd buy in any big five-and-dime store. Came across one Eskimo who was busy making carvings out of walrus ivory. Joe was anxious to buy the carvings, and it was a beautiful piece of work. Joe asked me the price.
Hey, how much a carving?
$15.
Hey, gosh, that's kind of cheap. I don't have $15 with me.
Okay, for American soldier, $12.
Well, now, it sure looks pretty, but I don't even have...
Listen, Joe,
never mind, Mark. Look, I tell you what. All I have with me is $7, see? Well, suppose I take the carving. We'll be up this way again for more pictures, and then I'll give you the $5. Would you trust me?
Okay, trust American soldier.
Attaboy. Here's the $7.
The Eskimos, but on the way back, I said to him, "Hey, what's the idea, Joe? I could have let you have the $5. How'd you know when we're ever going to come back to this Eskimo village?"
I don't take it so hard, Mark. This carving's probably not worth $7. The old Eskimo was probably very happy to get what he did.
No, that isn't the point. You shouldn't have promised him the money unless you intend to pay for it. Eskimos don't like to be lied to. They're honest people, and they expect to be treated honestly.
Ah, come on, quit worrying, will you? You've been reading too much about Alaska. The Eskimo's probably forgotten about it already.
The old Eskimo didn't forget. As a matter of fact, Eskimos are very community conscious, and if you deal with one of them dishonestly, the whole tribe will turn against you. We found that out. It so happened that Joe was transferred to another base soon after. Whether he had intended to pay that $5 or not, we never knew for sure. Anyway, a lot of the boys back at the base took a shine to that ivory carving, and some of them went to the village to try to buy some. They were given the cold shoulder, and I don't mean any pun. The Eskimos of that village weren't doing any business with American soldiers. Well, Tom and I finally got to the old Eskimo and made good the $5, and after that, the credit of American soldiers was good all the way. If you ever get to the Aleutian Islands, Kodiak, or Unalaska, or even Attu, which is way at the end of the chain of islands, practically halfway to Japan, well, don't be surprised if the natives answer to the name of Ivanov or Simonov or any other Russian name, because the Russians explored those islands first and left plenty of traces. You'll find lots of wooden churches with a turnip top that's typical of the Russian Orthodox churches. But I can't say you're going to like the Aleutians. They're not too much on scenery. It's foggy and cold most of the time. But one look at the map will tell you how strategic those islands are. The Navy has a radio station over at Dutch Harbor, which is on Unalaska Island. As a matter of fact, the telegraph system in Alaska is run by the Army Signal Corps. It's called the Alaska Communication System, and it's used just as much for commercial messages as it is for the Army. Let me think a minute now. There's a couple more things I ought to remember. Oh, sure, I remember now. Money. How come I didn't remember that in the first place? Well, the thing is, they seem to have a different perspective in Alaska. It's not so much the money you make, it's the work you do there that counts. It doesn't matter if you're digging a ditch or handling a law case. You do a good, honest day's work, and you're respected. Oh, yeah, what I do want to say is that before you go to Alaska, you want to store your pennies in the piggy bank. They don't use pennies. The smallest coin is a nickel, and when you get further into the interior, the smallest coin is a quarter. Well, that doesn't mean there's nothing less than a quarter. It's just that anything you do buy will have to add up to a quarter's worth or multiples of a quarter. And there's something else. Oh, yeah, I remember. The Alcan Highway. The big road. It's something to think about.
On Pearl Harbor Day, Dawson Creek was a sleepy little town in Canada.
By March of 1942, it was on its way to becoming a crossroads of the world, start of the Alcan Highway.
From Dawson Creek, Canada, to Fairbanks, Alaska. From March to November, the Army engineers blazed a road to 1,636 miles of unbroken wilderness.
They said it couldn't be done in less than 2 years.
The Army did it in 9 months. American soldiers working together through mud, rain, muskeg swamps, 7 days every week, long into the night.
Officially, it's the Alaska Highway, a northern lifeline for America in war. A great highway in peace.
And for the tourist trade, let me add, there's beautiful scenery. Well, not just because I'm going back to Alaska, but ask anyone who's been there. Alaska has some of the grandest scenery in the world. And, just between friends, let me tell you that Mr. Seward wasn't near as foolish as people were inclined to believe. Instead, as I said before, he was one smart operator.
Seward's Folly was written by Joyce Stillman and directed by James W. Talbot. In the cast were Hi Averback, Jack Carroll, Irvin Lee, Gil Sumner, Bill Stewart, and Bud Whittem.
United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.